going to use this.
Okay, perfect.
Oh.
What an introduction.
You guys are too much.
Wow.
We love being here. And, worship team, that was just amazing. I don't know when I've been in that good of worship. It's been so long, I think I wept through the whole thing because I haven't been in worship like this. And thank you so much. And to worship with all of you that love us. And thank you all that have been praying for my son, Seth, with his third hospital visit with his foot. And being diabetic, we worry about that. And we really feel like the Lord touched him Monday. We flew in and we hadn't been able to be up here, and any of you as mothers know, I wanted to be with my son this whole in and out of the hospital this whole month, and I finally got to be with him. And on Monday we anointed him with oil because the doctors had said the MRI is not showing where the infection is, but your foot is so blood red with infection on the bottom, we know that there's some hiding in there and we have to get it out. So we have this oil. Yeah, they were going to do an exploratory on his foot. And so we have this oil that I got at a...
Go on. Tell it.
I don't know if any of you have heard of the Bible that's flowing oil. You heard of that? Well, I thought it was kind of... A friend sent it to me on a private message, and I just kind of blew it off. And... I'm in Aldi's with my neighbor. She's Catholic, and I'm trying to be this, you know, stable Christian. This girl, lady comes up, probably my age, which thank you all. You know, I turned 70 last month, and so many of you blessed me on Facebook. Thank you so much. And so this lady that goes to a Bible study that Bill and I speak at of Catholics and Baptists that want the fullness of the Holy Spirit, she comes up to me, and I didn't remember her name or anything. She goes, "Hi, Darlene, I'm Victoria." And I go, "Hi, Victoria, and here's my Catholic neighbor." She goes, "Did you get that thing on Facebook about that Bible that oil's coming out of and that Beverly sent you?" And I said, "Oh." And you know how you get so many private messages, you can't look at them all, and that looked a little wonky to me. So I said, "Oh, you know, Victoria, I have not had time to look at that yet." And so, which wasn't a lie, I really hadn't. And she said, "Well, Beverly's renting a 15-passenger van, and we're all going up 2.5-hour drive to see this Bible, and they're having a revival." And I thought, that's just what I want to do, get in a van for 2.5 hours at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning, meeting at McDonald's to go up there. So I just said, "Oh, I'll look at it when I get home." So, and here's the Catholic neighbor. She's saying nothing. So then I get home, and that night, her name is Bobby. Bobby calls me, and she says, "Darlene, Crystal, it's her daughter who's bipolar that we have. She's come to our house church, and we've ministered her, and she's gotten so set free." And she said, "Crystal saw that Bible this week on a YouTube, and we want to go with you." Guess who had to go? And so I thought, okay, and Bill already had a commitment, so he couldn't go. It was a Sunday morning. So
with 15 ladies. Yeah, no, thank you.
So, and it was only $10 each for gas, I mean, or rental or whatever. I couldn't beat that. So I had read it, so I knew. I read the website. It's real plain, and it's an unassuming website. It isn't all out there. So found out it's four couples or so, you can read about it. They got together and prayed on a regular basis. They just wanted to be so pure before God. And they just met on a regular basis, and the husband got up to read his Bible. That couple, they were there. I would say they're about our age. And he got 30s. Up to get his Bible. Yeah, 30s. He got up to get his Bible, and it was wet. And he said to his wife, their granddaughter was there the day before, spill drink on my Bible? No, she didn't even have a drink. So then the next day it was more, and they saw it was oil. So they put it in a Ziploc bag, and then the Ziploc bag was bursting. So they have these clear buckets, you know, like you pack your Christmas decorations in or something, you know, the plastic snap-on lids with the Bible in it. And I walk into this church, and here's the bucket on an altar thing, like right here in the front. And you could go up because they'd put some inside of a bowl, and you could put some on handkerchiefs or whatever. And as you left, they gave you vials of oil. And I know oil doesn't heal anybody. Jesus is the healer. So I don't want y'all to think I've gone off the deep end. But anyway, I was impressed because of the man getting up that was leading the they never mentioned the oil except, because it was a revival. They never mentioned the oil except he said, we do not want this to become common. They do not sell it. They give it away. It's in Dalton, Georgia. It's in a bookstore where this oil keeps going. They bottle it in these little vials. And so my neighbor and her daughter were so touched, and it was an amazing time. And it wasn't my cup of tea of a church. It was a real wild Pentecostal. As a matter of fact, the word was really good. It was God. It was the word of God. But he actually jumped up and ran the tops of pews. Anybody ever seen that? Well, anyway, he did that years ago when he was young, one time. And so anyway,
snitch.
But it was a good spirit in there and all. And so as you're going out the door, the young sons of one of the couples was giving out the little vials of oil. And so I couldn't wait to anoint my son with this oil. I'd been praying with him, and thank you all that have been praying for him. I see it on Facebook, and I, as a mother, I'm just so grateful, because prayer, you're speaking to the creator of the universe, and he's the only one that can change anything. He's the only one that can heal anybody. So I couldn't wait. So we get there Monday evening, and he was happy to see us, but he was discouraged because they were going to do an exploratory surgery on the bottom of his foot. Hi, Dan. And so I said, Seth, and you know, Seth is kind of this conspiracy theorist.
Weird.
He loves God, but he's just kind of crazy. And, you know, they go to church, their kids are in church, but it's just a little out there. So I said, son, I have some of this oil that I told you about. I said, did you ever look up that website? No, Mom, I didn't. I said, well, since I told you today you're going to have surgery, can Dad and I anoint you and pray for you? So Bill anointed his head, and I went down and kind of got in the bandage a little bit, but not on his foot. And we prayed, and he calls us on Tuesday before we could get up there to see him again. And he said, the doctor said all the redness was totally gone.
Yeah.
And they had two holes where they were leaving it open to drain, and one of those had healed up. So he said, what'd you say that website was again? So he looked up and read it, and you know what he had to say was, gosh, they need a better website. I said, I got to hook them up with Paul. So anyway, instead of having surgery on Wednesday, he got to come home Wednesday.
Yeah.
So the big thing is he has to stay off his foot, and they have five children, one being 6 month old, and he's really into his kids, and so, you know, it's difficult. So probably be praying that he stays off of it, because we want complete and total healing so quickly that the doctors have to say, wow, that was a miracle. Okay. One last little thing. Y'all are doing the shoebox ministry here for the children. We were at Morning Star with Rick Joyner's church, and Rick Joyner's wife, Julie, is in charge of that ministry, and they send thousands and thousands.
65,000.
They sent 65,000 last Christmas time. So he gave the best testimony, Rick Joyner. He said, because he was pushing for people to go down on Main Street and, you know, if you can't bring a box, give them the money to fill a box. And he said they got a report from this in one of the villages that one of the boxes came. A 9-year-old boy, when he opened his box, along with whatever else was in there, there was a pair of thick baking gloves that you'd pull stuff out of the oven with, and everybody's standing around saying, oh, the poor kid, who in the world put baking gloves in there? And the little boy starts crying, and He said, God, he's real. He really does love me. He is 9 and supports his family, and he works at a bakery, and he had burns all over his hands from pulling the pans out. And God put it on someone's heart to put baking gloves somewhere in this United States and saw to it that it got to that young man of 9 years old. How awesome is God? So,
come on.
So just be available for God to use you, not only in the Christmas tree thing, but everywhere you are. Be his hands and his feet. This church that Seth goes to, I can't tell you what hands and feet of Jesus he's been. Through all of this sickness, I'm saying this, and we have not said this to anyone, his van was repossessed while he was in the hospital. He owed 2 payments, and when they repossess, they add all kind of charges, $2,400. His parents don't have $2,400.
I got $24.
We have a savings account with about, I don't know, $24 in it. But anyway, and so we're there, God, what are we going to do? She's stuck at home, Seth's in the hospital. We can't do a thing, but we can pray because he can do anything. Seth called his church to pray about it. They immediately said, we'll bring a check over. They brought a check over for $2,400. And then a family came, picked up all the kids, the 2 teens for youth group, and brought tons of food. This is the hands and feet of Jesus. When he came to bring the check, I was there, and I just wept. And I said, this is church. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. Yeah. I mean, not every church has $2,400 to give to someone, but once a month, they take an offering, and they put it in an account, a benevolence offering, for people in their church that come into a rough time. And that's what they had it for, just set aside for their church. So thank you all again for prayers, and I better give Bill
a little bit of time anyway.
Oh, you don't need that.
I don't need it. All right. As I've said multiple times here, I married way up. Way up. Ray, you did too. Yeah. Any man that married way up, raise your hand. All right. Ladies, look at that. Come on. Before I preach, I want to do something. Okay, I want to read a scripture. If I can see. I've been weeping. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. I would like all the veterans of any war, any military service at all, and their wives to please stand. Yes. Yes. Please stand. Come on. Look. Look around, guys. If your father was a veteran, stand. You have a veteran in your family, stand. Come on, guys. Yes. If that video didn't move you, then we're going to have a resurrection service up here because you need resurrection, I'm telling you right now. Oh, man. Whew. I am not a big old crybaby, but I have been today from the moment I stepped in here. People hugging my neck, welcoming Darlene and I, making us feel at home. I know if I lived in Minnesota where I would live. Right here. I would do it. Thank God I live in Tampa. It was 20 below in Tampa today. below 100. Somebody's got to live there. If you want to read along with me, turn to Psalms 92:10. I'm going to preach a message this morning that I preached 28 years ago. 28 years ago. I don't know that I've ever preached it here, but if you've heard it, just go along with me if you would, and just nod and say amen occasionally. I'm preaching on dealing with nose flies. What? Dealing with nose flies. Everybody say nose flies. Before I read this scripture, there are flies that are indigenous to the Middle East. We also have them here in the United States, in the northern parts, up in this area. If you've ever done any farming or sheeping, what they call sheeping or raising sheep, sheep have problems with bot flies. Say bot flies. B-O-T, bot flies. They are indigenous mostly to the Middle East, okay? And where shepherds keep their sheep, okay? And they look for sheep that they can fly to and fly up their nostrils and lay eggs in their sinus cavities. Sheep have sinus cavities just like we do, okay? They lay their eggs in the sinus cavities. And when the eggs begin to hatch, they expand and put so much pressure on that sheep that the sheep will run to try to bang its head against a fence or a tree to get that pain out of them. It creates so much distraction and pain. They lose weight. They quit associating with other sheep. Are you with me? And eventually, they die off because the bot flies keep expanding until they hit the brain, and the brain gets damaged, and the sheep die. Now, that's extreme, okay? But I want you to know they're called nose flies. And there's only one way to deal with a nose fly. You all right? Okay. There's only one way to deal with a nose fly. Want to know what it is? God bless you. We're going home now. Do you want to know what it is? Fresh oil. Here Darlene's talking about the oil coming out of the Bible. By the way, we have a little bit with us. If you would like for us to pray with you and anoint you with that oil, we'd be glad to. Okay? But it's fresh oil. And twice a year, the shepherds come with buckets of oil. And when the sheep see them coming with the buckets of oil, they run. They run to the shepherd. And the shepherd takes and dips oil out of the bucket and pours it on the head of the sheep. You say, Bill, where'd you get all this? I got it from a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keeler. You can read it yourself. There's a chapter in there on dealing with nose flies. Okay, I read this 30 years ago. Never thought I'd ever speak on it, but the Lord developed a message for me out of this, and I'll explain why in a minute. But Psalm 92, verse 10. But my horn have you exalted like the horn of a wild ox. I am anointed with fresh oil. Everybody say fresh oil. Anybody ever dealt with oil that isn't fresh? Nasty, smelly, gunky. Anybody ever change oil in your car? Why? It gets gunky, nasty, black, smelly. You have to change the oil. Ladies, listen to me. Change the oil in your car every 3,000 to 5,000 miles. Men, don't poke her with your elbow. Just say, yes, honey. Men, change it for your wives. Are you breathing? I was in Colombia, in Bogota, Colombia, And I was preaching this message in a church in Bogota, Colombia. And I talked about changing oil in your cars. And I asked, how many of you have a car? Not one person had a car. I had to change my metaphor. I have been anointed with fresh oil. David wrote this, by the way. And he said, I've been anointed with fresh oil. You've lifted my horn like that of a wild ox. What is indigenous of a wild ox is this. A wild ox will not lift its head for anything. It's stubborn. It'll be okay. And a wild ox keeps its head down at all times. It will not lift its head for anything or anybody. Okay? If it attacks you, it attacks you with its head down. And this says, you've lifted my horn like that of a wild ox. You've taken a hold of the horns, and you've lifted my head up, and you've anointed me with fresh oil. Why did David have a necessity of fresh oil? I thought he got anointed with oil when he became the king. Remember that? When the prophet came and he chose him out of his other brothers, and the scripture says he poured oil upon his head. It was a specific oil. David knew what was happening. He wrote Psalm 23, which I'm going to look at in a minute. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lovely poetic scripture, but it has meat in it. Deep, deep understanding. Verse 5 says, and you've anointed my head with oil. So David had oil poured on him. Why do you need fresh oil? Because oil wears out. It loses its viscosity. It loses its oiliness. It does what it's supposed to do. It attracts dirt. And it gets the dirt off of you. It's an anointing. It takes the dirt off of you. When you walk in the true anointing of the Holy Spirit with fresh oil, you will walk in a freshness of life. And it'll maintain your viscosity. But you can't live on oil you got 40 years ago. You can't. It has to have fresh oil. You have to have fresh oil. All of us have to have fresh anointing in order for us to continue to do what God wants us to do. And so when the shepherds of Israel come with fresh oil, the sheep come. They literally run to the shepherd. And you know what? They don't care what the other sheep think about them. If one of the sheep's lagging behind, they'll just run right past them. And what happens when a sheep run past another sheep? That sheep gets jealous. And you know what? Jealousy is a good tool of God. Because if you see somebody getting blessed, how many of you want to be blessed? Come on. So the sheep will all run to the shepherd. They'll get up there and they'll put their head up there and they'll say, meh, meh. They know what a botfly can do to them. They know the only way to keep those botflies away is fresh oil. And by the way, this was in that book. I love this. The same oil they used to anoint the heads of kings is the same oil they used to anoint the heads of the sheep. The exact same ingredient. Isn't that cool? Okay, Psalm 23. Very quickly. This message is 2.5 hours long. I've got to get through it. Come on, guys, you know better. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with fresh oil. My cup runs over. How does a cup run over? Fresh oil. Fresh anointing. You want all you need to be what God wants you to be? How many of you got an assignment from God? Do you? Raise your hand, wave it. I got an assignment from God. How many of you know exactly what that assignment is? Very few of us in the room. Some of us do, some of us don't. I happen to know my assignment was to go, to get out of my comfort zone and go, and get out of my home situation and take what I've been given out That's the anointing that God has given me, is to give away what I've been given. So when my need for a cup overflowing, I just go to the Lord and say, pour your oil on me, Jesus. Pour your oil on me. And here's what happens. When that fresh anointing, that fresh oil gets poured on you, the botflies back off. Now let me say what botflies are in New Testament terms. How many of you know and have ever heard the term for Satan as Beelzebub? Anybody? I mean, we just came through Halloween. How many of you know Beelzebub goes on the move at Halloween? He's actually called, Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. Are you breathing? Lord of what flies? The house flies? They just vomit. Keep the house flies off your food, guys. I don't want to gross you out, but they vomit. They don't fly up your nose. He's the Lord of the bot flies. He sends bot flies our way constantly. Try to pester us and distract us and keep us from the purpose of God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are glad the midterm elections are over? Wow, look at that. Listen, I am thrilled. I can't wait to go home and turn on my TV and not see some stupid activity in an ad on television for somebody running for office. Come on, it's all stupid? No, about 99% of it. I told Darlene just before we left on this trip, I am sick of watching these ads. And they're everywhere. You know, you've had them up here. But what comes with those? Fear. Fear. It's a generating fear that comes out of an election term and saying, this person's going to do this, 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 and this if you elect them. And they turn around and say, well, that person's going to do this, 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 and this. And it's a creation of fear in an election season where we don't know what's what. I want to know who I'm going to vote for. By the way, I have my voting rights restored. Somehow, God gave me a full pardon from Florida and a full pardon from California. Isn't that great? How it happened is in our book, which hopefully comes out for Christmas. Come on. Be sure and go get it. You've heard it. Read it. It's fun. It tells a lot of stuff in there that I don't talk about in my testimony. But the issue for us is dealing with any fear that approaches our doorstep. Okay? God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and what? A sound mind. How do we keep our sound mind? We keep our sound mind by truth in the inward parts, the scripture says. Truth comes from the Word of God. We keep our sound mind by a fresh anointing constantly from God, that we keep ourselves under His shepherding. Who is your shepherd? Jesus. Somebody say it. Jesus is my shepherd. He's the shepherd of your soul. He is there to protect you. He is there to equip you. He is there to give you everything you need pertaining to life, the scripture says. I'm trying to be Barnabas here, guys. Encourage you that you have an equipper. You have a provider. If you don't know, Jesus is Lord translates this way. Jesus is my full provider. The word Lord means overseer of all. He provides all you need in His lordship. As His king, He provides all you need in authority. Are you with me? The difference between king and Lord. Lord provides all of your needs. King provides all of your power, your authority, and your ability to accomplish what he gives you the equipment for. That's called grace. By the way, grace is translated fresh oil. Come on. Hey, if you don't leave here today with some sort of revelation, then wake up. Because God's got some revelation in this for you. You are a sheep. You need a shepherd. You're needy. You need a Lord. Your power and authority means diddly squat. You need his power and his authority to accomplish his will. It's called grace. That's my translation of grace. Fresh oil, fresh anointing to accomplish all God's given you. You want to be a good husband? Grace. You want to be a good mom and dad? Grace. You want to be a good church member? Grace. Are y'all getting anything out of this? I'm getting a few yes and uhs. I'll just finish it. This is where I got this, not from the book that I read, but I got this from the Holy Spirit concerning fresh oil. Turn with me to Luke 10, verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted, everybody say distracted, by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, everybody say Lord. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here when I do all the work? I wanted to go buy her a block of cheese to go with her wine. Yeah, that was funny, wasn't it? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha. In fact, the New American Standard says, Martha, Martha. He said her name twice. Why? Because she was so distracted, she didn't hear the first Martha. You ever had the Lord call your name twice? Bill. Bill! You are worried and bothered over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. That's a powerful word here. Now, let me ask you, how many of you know how many people were traveling with Jesus that day? Anybody know? There were 60 disciples plus the 12. Add it up. Math, 72. There was Jesus, 73. Martha and Mary, 74, 75. And Lazarus, they couldn't come into her home without a male counterpart being there. Okay, so 76 for dinner. That's a big dinner, isn't it? And Martha's in the kitchen preparing this whole meal for 76 people. And her sister's seated on her feet, seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. How many of you ladies would be upset with your sister? Wouldn't you? But who would you go to challenge your sister? Wouldn't you go to your sister? And say, Mary, why are you sitting here? Come help me. But no, she gets in the face of Jesus. Come on. Listen, most of us, when we have a problem with somebody, we'll take it to everybody but that person. Come on. Are you breathing? We'll take it, everybody but the problem person. My Bible says in Matthew 18, when you are offended with somebody, go to him and him alone. If he doesn't hear you, take two or three unbiased witnesses. And if they don't hear you, then bring it to the church. That's Matthew 18, guys. Always in the spirit of Galatians 6:1. Look up Galatians 6:1. Go in a right spirit, lest you fall into the same temptation. Always maintain a right spirit. But who did Martha confront? By the way, she said, Lord, didn't she? Provider. Overseer of all my need. That's what she called him, Lord. And this is what she whined. Lord, you don't care. You've left me to do all this serving by myself. Tell my sister, come help. I mean, you know, anybody ever been around a whiner? They drive you nuts. Bill, you're preaching too long. We get out of here by 10. No, you start at 10. You just got mixed up. Are you with me now? Lord, you don't care. Does it seem fair to you? How many of you know life is not fair? Turn to the person next to you and say it. Life is not fair. It ain't fair, guys. When you're looking for fairness in the kingdom of God, it doesn't exist. There's only one fair one, and his name is Jesus. You stay under his banner, his purpose, and his plan. Let me tell you, you won't see everything be fair, but you'll see everything be blessed. But you don't care. That's what the New American Standard says. You don't care. And how many of you know if you're going to rebuke Jesus? All right. Come on. If you're going to rebuke Jesus, get ready. You might get rebuked back. Are you there? You might get rebuked back. If you're going to challenge Jesus, you don't care. Doesn't it seem unfair? Pry her up off the floor and get her out in the kitchen. Now, I had some empathy when I read this about Martha. 76 people to feed. That's a lot of people to fix falafels for. They didn't have Falafel Hut. You couldn't call Falafel Hut and deliver me 165 falafels, please. No, she had to make them by hand. And so when I read this, I said, oh, Jesus, she did have 76 people to feed. And he said to me, she called me Lord, but she didn't let me be Lord. I said, explain this to me. Now, I'm talking to God about this, okay? Because this is how I study Scripture, guys. This is a good tip for you. Ask him. Ask him. If you don't understand something, ask him. Then get quiet and listen. Well, what if I hear a stupid voice? If it's your voice, it's a stupid voice. Listen for the sweet, sweet voice of God. It's sweet. And I sat and I listened and I said, God, if I had 76 people to feed, I'd be upset too. And I have some empathy for her. He said, she called me Lord. Lord? But she wouldn't let me be Lord. I said, explain it to me. He said, if she'd have brought me a slice of bread and a fish, I'd have fed everybody, and she could have sat at my feet. It had already been done twice. How many of you know that's good stuff, guys? When you let him be Lord, don't just call him Lord. Let him be the Lord. Don't sit around worrying. and fretting. Oh, what am I going to do? He said, Martha, you are worried. Listen to me. God says, be anxious for what? What? Nothing. Oh, God, you got to be kidding. You don't know my family. God, have you looked at my bank account lately? I told you what was in my savings this morning. $24. And I may have to transfer that tomorrow morning. Guys, I'm not playing poor. I'm just telling you, I got to trust God every single day of my life. Every moment. And he said she didn't trust me. Her worry was a manifestation of fear. Fear is the dark room where all your negatives get exposed. You are worried. You've opened the door for fear. And fear has approached your door. And he said this, you are worried and bothered. Everybody say bothered. I preached this at Northfield years ago. Gary Gilbertson was there standing up in the back. And when I said the definition of the word bothered, I saw him run out of the building to his office. Well, what's he doing? The word bothered there is a Greek word, and it translates diamonast. Everybody say diamonast. You know what it means? Demonized. Your worry has opened the windows and the doors to your soul, and here come the botflies, the demons, the pesterers. And they're talking in Martha's ear. Jesus loves Mary more than you. 76 people to feed. What are you going to do? Your sister's sitting in there. Mary, get mad at her. Tell her off. But no, she tells off Jesus. Help me, Lord. Are y'all breathing? Okay. I'm about done. Kind of. Okay, demonized, Lord of the flies, bot flies, and they're flying, and they're coming after you, Martha, because you call me Lord and you don't let me be Lord. Mary's chosen the better part. She is acting out my lordship in her life by sitting at my feet and getting oil poured all over her. I'm her shepherd. You go back in Scripture and you read every time Mary is in the picture, the sister of Martha, she's at Jesus' feet. Every time you see Martha, she's in his face. Don't be a Martha. Be a worker. But don't be a worker with a bad attitude. Be a worker. Come on, every church needs workers. But don't do it with a bad attitude. They want me to vacuum again? Oh! My sister's over there sitting. Get her to vacuum. Are y'all thinking clearly now? Okay. This is a church, guys. It's called a community. The word church literally means communion, a place of community, a place not just where you take a piece of bread and a drink of juice. It's a place of community. There's another root word in there. It's called communication. It comes out of the word communion. Communicate. What is marriage all about? Marriage is communication, guys. And listen, I understand Norwegian men. I don't know how many's out shooting deer this morning, but I'm okay with that. But here, listen to me now, okay? Most men don't like communicating. You mean I gotta talk to her? That was not in the vows. I've gotta talk? Yeah. Matter of fact, you've got to romance her. What? Romance? That's not in the Norwegian Book of How to Act. Yes, it is. You asked Darlene sometime today what I wrote on the hotel notepad for her last night, and I showed it to her about 10 times. I did. It had I with a heart and a you. I heart you. Translation from English to woman, I love you. All you ladies need to get men like that. And all you men need to change. Why do you think you got married? It's for her to change you. Because your mother quit changing you. Are you with me? Are y'all having any fun? I'm having a lot of fun, guys. And here's, come on. Here's the beauty of this. I'm leaving town today. I just want to say to you, had Martha sat at the feet of Jesus, he would have provided everything they needed that day as the Lord. He would have taken bread and a fish and expanded it to feed everybody. She could have sat at his feet and got the oil poured on her and received everything she needed and drive off the nose flies. All right, here, and I'm going to close. I've closed five times, so this is my second. So anyway, here's the nose flies coming without oil on the sheet. Ooh, 76 people to feed. I hate my sister. Jesus doesn't listen to me. Are you breathing? Does this sound familiar? Don't sit there and look at me like you're incredulous. Come on, you know this is humanity, guys. This is whining at its best, okay? Jesus loves Mary more than me. Okay? Sit at the feet of Jesus. Let the shepherd pour his oil on you. Fresh oil. Let him lift your head like that of a wild ox. Take your hard-headedness and stubbornness. Oh, now look at me like you don't have it. You have given me fresh oil. You've given me fresh oil, God. Let the oil come down from your head, down to your nose, down to your ears, and run all the way down to your feet. And pray for the sheep next to you, that they stay still long enough to get the oil. And then the nose flies come. 76. Martha, is it Mary? Is it? Was it? They hate the scent of fresh oil. The demons hate it. Fresh anointing in our lives. They hate it. They hate you more, but they hate the smell of that anointing, that fresh oil, because it drives them crazy. They got nowhere to land and lay their eggs because you're anointed. You have anointed my head with fresh oil. Broken down my stubbornness. You've broken down my hard-headedness. And all you've said is just put your head out and let me anoint you with fresh oil. Am I amongst the right people? Anybody here know you're a sheep? Scripture says you're the sheep of his pasture. And he's the shepherd of your soul. I would like all the sheep to stand up for a moment. Oh, look around, guys. Wow. All right, here's what I want to do. I want all the sheep to, in your heart, say, Jesus is at the altar. Get up here. Run to the shepherd of your soul. Don't care what the other sheep think about you. Get on up here. I don't do this very often, guys. This is not my normal habit. Okay? Come on. Push up a little so the back sheep can get in. This is the back row sheep here. Come on. You know, Jesus loves back row sheep as much as he loves front row sheep. Okay? You ready for this, Kathy? All right? Any of you have ever heard me preach this message, you know what I'm about to do. If you haven't, you're about to experience something fresh and new. Okay? I want you to just take your head and just lean it forward just a little bit. Don't fall. Just lean it forward. Far enough that you know you're just almost off balance, okay? Okay? Now I want you to take your right hand and your pointer finger, out like this, okay? Now do this. Point to your head like this and go, bah! Come on, bah! Bah! Say it, Jesus, pour fresh oil on me. You're the shepherd of my soul. Pour fresh oil on my head, in through my soul, in my ears, up my nose, in my eyes. Give me all the anointing I need to be what I'm called to be. Forgive me. For whining. I give you my soul to be freshly anointed. In Jesus' name. Wow. Come on. Wow. I don't know if you felt it or not, and I don't care if you felt it or not, but fresh oil was being poured out here today. Fresh oil. A fresh anointing. What do you need to move on into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Fresh oil. Say, what if it wears out by tomorrow? Go to your shepherd. Bah. Really? What if I'm in the supermarket? Bah. You really care what everybody else thinks? Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. Why? Scripture says there are those that need to be offended. There are those of unsound judgment will be offended with this kind of measure. You need fresh oil? I do. I do. I've learned to be a sheep, sheepfold of the King and the Lord. Provide all I need, Jesus. Say it with me. Provide all I need. Everything pertaining to life. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. I turn to the person next to you and go, bah. Come on. Turn that way and go, bah. It's a new day, guys. It's a new day, okay? Now, here's what I want to say. I'm going to cut it loose to the leaders here. But we have a little bit of that oil with us, and we would be more than happy to anoint anybody that's sick. Don't just come to get this fresh oil on you if you've got a hangnail. Why not? Hangnails hurt. They do, but I'll give you my clippers. But if you're sick, okay, and you want this fresh oil put on your head, we will do it. Okay? Who do I turn this over to? Steve's not here.